mission, should you choose to accept it. Actually, we've never chosen to accept any mission anyone has ever given us. I think we would be the worst IMF force in history.
I've chosen to accept a few missions.
No, you've chosen to accept a few drinks.
Yes, and buckets of chicken wings.
Right, but that's different. I mean, don't, granted, we usually succeed at those missions.
That's
accomplished.
True. I wouldn't call those impossible missions.
No, yeah. Imbibing. Mission imbibable.
Yeah.
But we have seen a few Adam Sandler movies.
Oh, that's true. That could count. We did see Pixels. Well, some of us
saw
Pixels.
Yeah, right? What kind of loser wouldn't see Pixels? The one who wins.
Some of us chose not to accept that mission, and they chose wisely.
I disavowed all knowledge of Adam Sandler long ago, so I think that's why I dodged that one.
Well, thank God he's not in Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Right, I just that would suck.
I just love that y'all hated Pixel so much, like, y'all are still talking about it.
I think we've, like, the last 2-3 reviews since we've talked about it. We're like, you know what? I don't think we were firm enough in how bad Pixels was.
You were becoming, like, Andy Rooney's. Like, another thing about Pixels that I don't particularly like.
Becoming.
Well, you are rocking those eyebrows pretty well.
All right, there you go.
The Room Full of Rooney's review of Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
My fault for diverting us. Let's get back on that on-ramp.
Right.
Let's hold on. Hold on desperately to the side of this review as it takes off.
Open the door!
Open the fucking door!
Yeah, I was a little surprised that the biggest stunt in this film, they had for the opening stunt.
Yeah.
I was like, really? You don't want to save that till later or more?
I thought it was sort of ballsy.
Scene?
Like, yeah. My view of this movie is the fight choreography and the cinematography was so great. I feel like they were like, yeah, that's our best scene, but we have some better stuff coming up. It's not as sensational, but it's shot really nicely.
No, the audience still would have been right. It was boring as all.
Well, no, actually, I think I'm gonna fall somewhere in the middle of this because. JC, weren't you telling me that scene was supposed to be in a different part of the movie originally?
Yeah, I was talking about it with some of our colleagues, and I think originally it was going to be the end, just sort of like a, not mid-credit stinger or anything, but just kind of the way they end the movie, and it's like, hey, we're still a team, and we're still doing stuff.
And this is the next mission.
Sense. Yeah.
But we're talking about, of course, the scene that you've probably seen stuff of because they're so proud of themselves. That
oh my God, they're marketing Cruise. This shit, they're marketing this entire movie on the back of that scene.
Yeah, that Tom Cruise actually hung on to a plane while it was taking off, which admittedly is very impressive.
Not as impressive.
Oh, yeah, being strapped down.
Xenu was protecting him. That plane was just going to fall into a volcano and give everyone the bad feels for 100 years.
Well, we are the Unusual Suspects.
You're so glib.
I'm Chris.
JC.
Elliot.
Brian.
The glib one is Brian.
And I'm sometimes known as Joe.
This is the fifth film in the Mission Impossible series, and to me I felt like more than anything this was kind of in tone taking a step back to the first one.
I agree entirely. Yeah.
It couldn't be more different than the fourth one, which felt like it was Ghost Protocol, felt like it was directing more towards the modern Bond films that have been happening. Like, let's make this, even though it has insane stunts and beautifully shot, let's make the plot a little more grounded.
See, it's funny, I think the fourth one is actually going more for that fear factor thing, where it's like, how fucking far can we push a human being before the whole audience gets sick along with
them? That's funny, like Tom Cruise being, what, how old is he now? Like
1,000 years old.
And now he's doing more dangerous stunts than he's ever done in his career. Like, at one point in here, there's a thing where he's in this big underwater thing, and he's only got 3 minutes of air. And to train for this sequence, which they really filmed underwater with no air tanks, he learned to hold his breath for 6 minutes.
I think he's trying to die. I think he's trying to die on the set of one of these movies.
I think he is.
Yeah, the line between impressive and stupid is crossed at that point.
It's called the Jackie Chan line.
It's true.
Golden Harvest developed it.
Take your shirt off. Your Chan lines are showing.
You mean all those giant scars?
Yes.
Where every bone in your body has been taken out and
The one on the back of his head is especially impressive.
He's still got a hole, like, in the like a piece of skull missing in the back of his head from that.
Trent Reznor wrote a song about
Operation
it.
Of God.
I heard it.
Did you?
Head like a hole. Yeah,
I see what just I heard happened. The story here,
sex joke there somewhere,
which is important to. I'm going to hit upon that word one more time. There's a lot of story here, and by that I mean there's an actual espionage story going on, which we haven't seen in a few movies, and I think is what reminds me so much of the first one.
Well, yes. However, I would go so far as to say it felt more like a spoof of an espionage film than an actual espionage film, but I kind of felt that way about the first one, too.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a crayon inside the lines kind of espionage.
Some of the dialogue was kind of a little wildly over the top that made it seem sort of spoofish.
Yeah, that was part of it. It was partially that the main villain played here by Sean Harris, who came across, I was telling Joe in the car, he seemed like if Dave Foley had been on Sprockets on Saturday Night Live.
If the state went evil.
I was like, oh my god, it's Dave Foley on Sprockets and he's evil, which of course he would be.
He looked like someone who had had part of his jaw removed.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah. But he's like, his plan is so absolutely preposterous and all but impossible to even, like, how could you possibly assume that all these pieces were going to come
I just
together?
Realized something. He's Mr. Fucking Glass.
Yeah.
That's who this villain is. He's going around setting off all of these terrorist events for, like, he doesn't really tell us why. He's just like, I'm trying to bring about change. I think he was trying to find Tom Cruise.
Well, ultimately, it shows how hard it is to start a small business in this day and age.
It really is.
You need $20 billion of seed money.
$2.3 billion.
It's like that old joke, you know, what's the best way to become a millionaire owning a comic book shop?
Yeah.
Start as a billionaire.
Yeah.
And then you have to convince the prime minister to, like, let you do it.
Yeah. There's a level of complexity to what he would have to go through. You're like, dude, just take out some loans and invest well, for God's sakes.
Well, yeah, like in the old days, you didn't start off with billions of dollars, and then what was his plan after that? You've got the billions, now what do?
It felt like it would have taken the amount of money he was trying to steal to fund his evil organization just to pull off those plans in the first place.
You know what? You got to spend money to megalomake money, okay?
Or do like this movie did. Go to Alibaba. Alibaba has a shit ton of money.
That's the most impossible mission of all, apparently, is getting this movie funded, because in addition to having Tom Cruise and J.J. Abrams as producers, they reached out to Alibaba and China Productions. Weren't investors really Paramount?
Isn't Alibaba the, like China's Google?
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
What?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Why spend your money when you can spend somebody else's money?
Oh, yeah.
The lawyer return.
I'm just saying, like, if you don't have to spend your money, fuck spending your own money.
Not and true. Elliot rises as the
Elliot's
villain.
Elliot's like, I can help you put it in escrow.
Yeah, it's like bail on somebody else's dime.
It's one thing I did like about
Take
this
Adam
film
Sandler.
Is that Simon Pegg is very front and center in this movie.
Really great.
You know, they have really brought him into like the secondary primary character
other than
Tom Cruise. And they're also like, even though he's still doing a bit of comic relief, he's also kind of a badass in his own way too.
Not really. That's what really perplexed me. Was he was amazingly incompetent at everything he did. His hacking was hitting the hack button.
Well, yeah, but that's a Mission Impossible thing.
No, it was. So anybody could have done
that. I feel like that's intentional, though, because if they had made him too good of a hacker, why the fuck would Ving Rhames be in this movie?
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, you have to justify Ving Rhames' presence, so you make it a little bit more difficult for Benji to be the hacker. Which is why there's a great scene where someone's like, how long is this going to... Well, it's done. Like, this really great Ving Rhames.
And of course you've got, like, you know, a plot where everybody's been burned and now their own country's looking for them, because it's not a Mission Impossible movie if everybody hasn't been burned and they're being looked for by their own people. In this case, Alec Baldwin is a sort of secondary sort of baddie.
Jack Donaghy.
There was a part where I was like,
Jack Donaghy.
Oh, where he did the little head thing.
No, there's a part where I was like, are you going to say, what am I, a farmer?
Yeah.
Like, I was just, because he was playing Jack Donaghy.
He totally he really was playing, and that was, it was stuff like that throughout this, like that, the villain being so ridiculous that made it feel like a spoof to me. I mean, he's like, he's so, Alec Baldwin's character is just so silly. He does, he feels like he is one smirk away from turning into his
one smirk. And I think this is where we have given a lot of good faith to this franchise, because I don't think any of the things that you guys are mentioning are intentional. I think they're just things that don't work.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't think this movie was going for parody. In fact, I think what this was trying to do was, like, I mean, this is the fifth movie, and they're just now talking about the Syndicate. If you guys followed the show, the Syndicate was, like, the premier villain of the fucking show.
Right.
So this would be, like, the fifth Batman movie before you even heard about the Joker.
No, I mean,
so, to me, it's like they're trying to get back to, like what Chris said, the first movie, but really the first, the primary source material, and go back to the show, which is, I think, what they were attempting, but the things you guys are mentioning, I think, are the things that fell short.
Well, to be clear, I mean, I know y'all, Chris and Joe, are viewing it as parody. I don't view it as, like, but it felt like a spoof.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't want to say that I thought they were trying to make
one.
I'm agreeing with Brian. Yeah. I think that they didn't mean for it to, but it felt more like one.
I'm just saying, like, y'all think that, and that's fine. I don't think that.
Okay.
I don't want the... say, like, I think that. I don't think that.
Yeah, disavowing.
Yeah, don't worry, internet.
I can either confirm or deny without from Chris.
The scene before their big, like, super, oh, aren't they clever thing, where Renner and Cruz just have that, like, kind of screamy match at themselves is when I checked out. I was like, oh, God, this has to be in every movie where two white guys assertively talk about stuff.
And alpha
then
male off.
And then we both agree.
I agree with you, but, man, Jeremy Renner can't alpha male off with anybody these days.
Dude, he's it almost felt like even in this, like, he had just kind of shrugged.
Yeah.
Like, in this one. And he's like, you know, okay, I'm not obviously not going to get to take over this franchise for Tom Cruise now. So I'm just gonna hang back a bit.
It was basically like, whatever, I got Marvel money now.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's like
true.
It's the second franchise where he was supposed to be the star. Yeah. And they're like, no, fuck that.
Sorry.
This is doing well, I'm coming back.
They're not even putting him in the new Bourne movie now, apparently.
For fuck's sake.
The
Bourne identity. Yeah. They were just like, get out of here.
Maybe it was him taking the Hawkeye role. Maybe that, like, showed that he doesn't even view himself. It's like Colin Farrell had an interview recently where he was talking about how he had one number one movie, then he fell off and everybody was like, you're done. And he considered it a sort of a lie that he was ever a leading man.
Yeah.
Maybe Jeremy Renner's just come to terms. He's like, look, I'm going to be a supporting actor that's going to lend, like, toughness to this movie.
Yeah, funny story.
I'm not going
to
be that guy.
Funny story that will connect us back to the review that we're doing. No, this is good. Is that Jeremy Renner's big break was in SWAT with Colin Farrell. So.
Was it really? Oh, wow. Big conspiracy theory. Right, yeah. Which, by the way, is it just me or does Ethan Hunt in this film seem like it was Alex Jones who wrote the script for it? Seems like the whole thing with the syndicate, and this is like the first we've really heard of them, and they're like, no, all this other stuff that you didn't get to see, because that was, like, I guess Mission Impossible. Possible 4.5 that he went through. That was all this one evil group syndicate. Let me catch you up real fast. Just look it up on Wikipedia. Come back to the movie. We'll wait. Okay, there you go. They're evil. They control everything. And when he's talking,
you can read about
it
on Ethan Leaks.
Yeah, when he's talking about it, everybody's looking at him like we'd look at Alex Jones. Like, what the fuck?
And I wish they had played with that more. I wish there had been a little more doubt from the others that, like, maybe Ethan is going crazy. Because to me, that's a way more compelling story. Is there really a syndicate, or is Ethan losing his mind because he's been knocked around and fallen off of this building and smacked his head on that thing, and maybe he's just a crazy old man because Tom Cruise, get this, is a crazy old man.
Oh, yeah. My interest did peak up a little bit in those moments, and yeah, they probably should have expanded upon that or played with it a little longer.
But everybody just blindly follows Ethan because they're a team, and I get that, but it's like, I could have done with a little more, like, Ethan, I think you're fucked in the head.
I think
the impossible mission is getting you back to being sane.
Yeah, there is a point where he actually could possibly have brain damage after seeing this movie, and they even blame that. He's like, what's up?
And even then, Simon Pegg was like, sure, drive the car.
Yeah, sure.
I agree. It's like, he's taken so many falls and so many hard hits over these movies. That would have been fun if they're like, dude, you have concussions and brain damage.
Hell, in this movie, he's taken a bunch of shots to the head. In this one movie, he's taken enough shots in the head to ruin an NFL player's career in one movie.
Which is to say, with as many problems as I have with this film, and I do, I think this is a really silly entry in this franchise, the action you cannot really criticize. The action, I felt, was really top-notch. It was shot beautifully. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought the cinematography of the action was really well done. Just the fisticuffs are really well done.
The scene with the opera was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a whole, like, multi-assassin thing inside a major opera hall in Vienna, and it's a really cool sequence.
Well, I would say that the best action/fight sequence was... how should we put this? Pretty British, Katie...
Leggy British.
Katie Holmes versus
Rebecca
the other
Ferguson.
Yeah, but she looks like a pretty British version of Katie Holmes.
She does.
But that British knife fight that she had, that was the best thing that I'd seen in it, because it was like most knife fights I've been in where it's never pretty.
Hold it up. Knife fights.
Yeah.
You can't just say that.
Plural.
Come on.
You have to ask him sometime off mic.
Okay, yeah, that's definitely off mic.
You think he shaved that beard? It was cut off.
Yeah, that's what I do every morning with my cowboy.
Like Wesley Snipes in Expendables 3.
Yes. Thank you for reminding us that happened.
Hey, it's on Netflix.
So it was a lot of garbage.
All right, guys. Let's move this to the final thought. Start with Elliot.
You said with trepidation. I really like
wrong.
Just ignore it.
Kidding. I'm not going to do that to you again.
No. It's fine. I really like this movie. One thing I hadn't get to mention yet, it feels like they took a tour of each of the four previous movies in this movie. Like, they mentioned the first where they're like, you just have to drop down and get into the mainframe that way. First one, they had all the motorcycles. I expected Doves to come out, like John Woo was directing just that section, like Mission Impossible 2.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I did too, yeah, actually.
Like, that one Dove is like, it's my shot.
Finally, I get a second chance, like Jeremy Renner.
Yeah. But I tell you, there are a lot of points of this plot that if you stop for a second and think about too hard, will bother you. And that's something that takes away a lot from this movie. But like Chris said, it is, I think it's a masterclass in how to compose great action scenes that are visually interesting and that keep you going and keep you looking at that scene beyond who's going to get shot, what's going to blow up. It's like, okay, well, they're trying to do this, but they have this many pieces in place. And it's like watching a good chess game. So for all that, I got to give this a solid, for me, 8 exploding record players out of 10.
JC?
Wait,
hold on. Wrong, Elliot! Sorry.
And we're back.
Tis my role.
I thought it was really solid overall. When you compare it to the rest of the Mission Impossible franchise, it's kind of stuck somewhere in the middle. I think it's really convoluted at 131 minutes. There are too many repeated beats, too many moments where somebody's like, okay, I did the thing, what now? Or I betrayed my boss, what now? We'll go back and betray him again.
That guy doesn't fucking learn.
He's the dumbest villain ever.
Sorry. Oh, that, yeah. That,
yeah.
Whoa. She's betrayed you 3 times now.
But yeah, I mean, the action sequences are great. I do think the underwater sequence is one of the more tense throughout the whole franchise, in my opinion. I need to go back and kind of rewatch, but that was a really cool and well-done sequence. Yeah, I mean, somewhere right in the middle, really solid. I would give it 6 out of 10. Carefully laid out tools before torture that never get used. Why don't those tools get used?
Because JC wants to watch more torture porn in his 5 movies.
Okay, Amazon has Saw available for $15, all 5 movies.
I have all the Blu-rays.
Well, De Leon is Spanish for Guantanamo Bay. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Joe?
Yeah. Ooh. Didn't care for it. It was amazingly redundant. Was done better by the same franchise many times. What? Okay, and this is gonna sound like a slam, but I genuinely mean it. Tom Cruise has now gotten to the point where his body can't hide his age anymore, so he does look like old man with really good fake hair. But that's the one thing that I really liked about the movie is that. Okay, so now that is the kind of Ethan Hunt I would want, where he's, you know, been in the spy game for 40 plus years and he's still doing that. I gotta save the world before I put my fix-a-dent loses my dentures. The girl, we didn't really talk much about her. I thought she was amazingly capable, kind of underutilized, just glaring problems with logic. So I'd give it 4 Liz Lemons.
Nice.
You know, it did just strike me as you were saying that, the fact that Tom Cruise, when he went to go have lunch, could have gotten the retired person's discount, the senior citizen discount.
Yeah, that's the logic flaw we're talking about.
Well, at this point, Hollywood's going to give him like a gold watch.
Right.
It's like, you need to retire. You got to move down to Florida, run the clock out.
He'll never retire. He'll die doing this. He'll die doing a Mission Impossible.
I think he's trying to.
I think that is his goal. Yeah. I really do.
He's going to fake his death so Scientology would let him go.
So he can join Rogue Nation. Oh, my God.
The only way I'll ever be allowed to see my kids again is if I'm in a hospital bed. Sorry.
And he turns into Jeremy Renner.
Right? I can see both sides of this. I really did have fun with the action sequences. I thought that they were incredibly well done. JC's right, that underwater sequence is one of the highlights from the entire series. It was very well done and conceived of. And there's that nice moment that's corny as hell, but still funny. Yeah. It's like, well, why don't we break into there and do this? She's like, no, that would be impossible. And they just kind of look at each other and wink.
Might as well have looked at the camera.
I know, right? And it's like, okay, at this point, this film is a comedy to me, so I'm just going with that. But I still could not get past how just fucking stupid the plot is. It's really dumb. And, like, it just keeps reminding you how dumb it is. It's like nobody went back over this script and went, why would he do that? Nobody's gonna care. Well, some people might care. Well, Elliot won't care. Hey. So that's what's important.
Well, they're tiny little ball bearings.
He's right, I wouldn't.
I had fun with it, but if I was going to go, like, and just to say the order of best to worst of these right now is 4, 3, 5-1-2.
That sounds
fair. I think that's that. You know, I still had fun with this, but I can't really say if you've always been, yeah, the Mission Impossible films are okay. I still say this is probably one you could skip. I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 Botox injections in Tom Cruise's face.
Yeah, I think the title is actually very apropos here, because I think the problem with this movie is that it tries to go rogue, but doesn't even understand that it's fitting tightly within the rigorous like standards of what a Mission Impossible movie has become. Like, they really do hit... Like, there's even a point in the movie where I swear to God, they're doing the knock list again. Again! The fucking... Oh, it's a list of every age. When I heard that, I was like, you have got to be fucking kidding me.
You're recycling
the agent list again!
There's also one, and it may have been unintentional, but it seemed like an intentional nod to National Treasure, which is not good.
Yes.
Well, no, we know what this nod is.
No, it's,
we'll talk about it.
No. I think I know what you're talking about. But it's... The thing is, you can't... You can't go rogue and be like, we're going to go back to what the original is. It's going to be like dark and seedy and alleys and espionage and old school. When the opening of the film, the opening of the movie is your hero whose whole plan is run and jump on airplane. Like, literally, that's as far ahead as they thought is, I'm just going to run and jump at it. Like, that. There's a difference in the level of well-thought, well-plotted espionage throughout the rest of the movie when it starts with, I don't know, I guess I'll just grab a hold of an airplane.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And something will come together.
And hold on.
And to me, that mentality is what made Ghost Protocol so good, is it really had this, like, fly-by-the-seat-of-their-pants, they didn't know, they didn't have any other option, and yet they've recycled the same, like, oh, we're on the government shit list. I'm like, when were you ever on the good side of the government?
Yeah.
The first fucking movie is about the IMF going rogue. So I can't wrap my head around why they are still an agency. Even at the end of this film, I'm like, you have been on the government. It's like Harry Potter. It's like, at a certain point, somebody goes, you've broken so many fucking rules, I'm not sure you're the good guy anymore.
These guys are the Blockbuster Video of spy agencies at this point. You're like, seriously, there's still some of those guys around?
And that's why I think that's another apropos thing, is why they're like, what's a red box? I'm like, yeah, because Blockbuster never figured that out, and that's why they're dead. That's,
oh my God, it makes so much sense now.
So, Mr. Glass, and the Redbox conspiracy and WikiLeaks, and there's so much going on.
Invading levels.
Brian, have you been watching 23 again?
I may have.
You're just
there's conspiracy all over this, guys. If you don't, you just got to ask questions.
It's the chemtrails.
No, and I think the problem is that in all of that, what gets lost in all of that is the spectacle and the joy of the last two movies. Mm-hmm. Like, those movies are really fun. They're very well done, and no one can ever say that they're like mindless. They're
mindless.
Very well executed
films.
Except
Joe, apparently.
The last two? Really?
He hasn't seen 4.
Yeah. I'm just saying it.
Then shut your gob.
That you can say it. It is Mr. physically Quantum. Possible.
He loves a challenge.
He does.
It was impossible. No, it wasn't.
Impossible. No, it's not.
He's just Mr. Quantum, so it's cool.
There you go. But that scene at the beginning when they're holding on the airplane, as off-kilter as it is with what is arguably more interesting approach in the rest of the movie, it's the moment where I had the most fun, and it had that moment where I literally had to look away from the screen because it was so tense and it was so nerve-wracking. It was like when he was on top of the Burj Khalifa and you actually get motion sick, you actually get vertigo.
Wiz
like,
Khalifa was in this?
Yeah, no, not Wiz Khalifa, Burj Khalifa. I'm going to punch you till you're black and yellow. But that's a Wiz Khalifa song. I'm not being racist.
I just went, did you just say something really horribly
no,
racist?
No, I said something really horribly Wiz Khalifa, which is equally bad.
I was waiting for him to... I was like,
yeah,
realize that.
Citation needed.
It's my fault I interrupt you.
No, it's fine. But the whole thing is, like, it just doesn't work. I understand what McQuarrie was going for, and I like that each director has tried to put their own spin on these, but I think this just doesn't gel with what the franchise has become, and it doesn't quite reconcile itself with what the franchise used to be either. So I think it's just kind of the redheaded stepchild. And for me, my order would be 4-3-1-5-2, because I actually really like the first one.
But we can all agree that 2 was horrible.
But we can all agree that 2 was horrible. Like, we can all agree that...
Except for someone who I won't name at Birth Movie's Death, who just wrote a whole piece defending it.
Well,
whatever!
That's just wrong. That is just, like, objectively incorrect. So, all in all, I think I'm going to have to give this movie 5 out of 10 portraits of Tom Cruise in Tony Scott's attic getting slowly older.
Aww.
Yeah.
Tony Scott.
I know. That's the sad part of that.